Please turn with me to Acts chapter 17 this morning as we continue the study here. Acts chapter 17. Begin to read with verse 1. Acts chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lured fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. We're going to stop there with the end of verse 5 and begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious, precious word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the salvation that you hand to us. So sad that verse says, and some believed. Same way today. Just some believe. Father, I ask that you'll just touch every heart today. You'll just move in a mighty way. Bring those folks, Father, that maybe have been in church all their life, but they have never come to know you as their personal Savior. They believe in their mind, but not in their heart, because they can't go back to that precious, special day that they recognized they were sinner, recognized they were lost, and looked right to the cross of Calvary as the Spirit brought us there. And we said yes, and Jesus came into our hearts to live. There's a time, there's a place, there's a day that comes to pass. And if you haven't experienced, Father, if they haven't experienced that, it's so important that today be the day of salvation. Speak to all of our hearts now as we enjoy this study together, and grow together, feeding upon your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we went west, as Paul, Silas went west out of Philippi, they came to Amphipolis. Then went down south and a little west and was to Apollonia, and then they continued on west into Thessalonica. And so if you look at a map, you could kind of follow through on that. All of that is found in Macedonia as they left Philippi and moved westward, proclaiming the word of God. Amphipolis was the capital of the eastern district of Macedonia. And in Paul's time, all this area was under Roman rule. The ancient name for Apollonius, and I wish they'd left it that way, was Nine Ways. Now, wasn't that much simpler? Why didn't they just leave the name of the town Nine Ways? And the reason it's Nine Ways is because there were nine roads in Macedonia that intersected in this town. It was a main thoroughfare of everybody, nine different roads. Why they don't leave it at Nine Ways instead of Apollonia. And so, but it's about 30 miles from Amphipolis, and then it's about another 30 miles over to Thessalonica. And so as we kind of continue to travel west, and look at your map and you can kind of see those things. It's fun to watch the journey and see where they travel and how they move. We find it as the end of verse 1 tells us there was a synagogue of the Jews there. And the way it kind of states it, where was a synagogue of the Jews? Now, he did not stop in these other communities. He went through these other communities. He may have stayed a night in these other communities that he traveled through. But there was no mention of a Jewish synagogue. And so it's believed that probably there was no other Jewish synagogue through that passage. And so because we know Paul, as it tells us in the second verse, as a manner was, he went into them, and for three Sabbaths, it says here, that he had spent with them. But that's exactly the Paul's way. Even though Paul was the missionary to the Gentiles, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, he still had such a love for his brethren, the Jews. And every time he would come into a city or a town where there was a synagogue, that's the first place that he would go, and he would begin to speak. Paul attended every time he had an opportunity to attend. But Paul did not just listen. Paul went to speak. There was a purpose for him. He wasn't going to the synagogue to listen to them read from Isaiah and continue to be dead to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to awaken them to that Jesus has come, has lived, has been crucified and died and rose again, and he is your Messiah, and you've missed him. And so that was the message that Paul would bring. And he did this for three Sabbath days, it tells us. And it says that he reasoned. And again, verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. Now, what he would tell them is, in the third verse tells us, opening and alleging. And that word alleging means to present. And so he opened and presented to them the Word of God. And that was Paul's purpose, because what saves people, what brings people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's precious Word does. And so Paul was bringing the Word unto the Jews in the synagogue. And the part that the Jews have missed, they were looking for a king. They were looking for someone that was powerful and royal and majestic and would come and snatch away the burden of Rome that was on them. That's what they were looking for. They were not looking for one to be crucified. They had missed the suffering part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Missed the crown of thorns that must come first. Paul opened the Scriptures to Christ, the Messiah, who they were waiting for, the prophet of whom Moses wrote. Paul presented to them Christ the Savior, as it tells us in the end of verse 3. And this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, the prophet, the priest, the king, the Savior. And that's what Paul presented to them. Some of the verses from the Old Testament that he may have used would be the presentation of the first gospel, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Paul could use that. And he could say, this has been fulfilled 20 years ago. Jesus was virgin born. Jesus lived. Jesus was crucified. Seed of a woman. He has come. So that would be a verse that he could use. We find that Luke chapter 1, which again would have been 50 years before this time, he could have used that scripture verse concerning Gabriel and coming with the message unto Mary that she was going to be with child by the Holy Spirit. They heard these words in times past. Remember what happened when the wise men showed up and they wanted to know where the Christ child was born? They knew. They knew where that was at. So see, these verses of Scripture that Paul is bringing to these Jews is words that they know. Micah 5:2 was told out of Bethlehem. Genesis, and also then Matthew 2, 1 and 2 was a confirmation of that, out of Bethlehem. Did he bring Micah forward and then speak of what Matthew had said, confirming the two? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, all the way back to Genesis 49:10. He could have spoke the words of Moses and told them of that. Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. All these words were spoken, and it was words they were common to. And then Luke 1:35, born and shall be called the Son of God, continued to confirm the words of God. Go back to these scripture verses this afternoon. Genesis 3:15, Luke 1:26 through 33, Micah 5:2, Matthew 2:1 and 2, Genesis 49:10, Isaiah 11:1, Luke 1:35, and then we come to Malachi. And we're going to go back to Malachi and read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I had a wonderful time when I did the study in Malachi on the radio. When I came to this passage, as all of them was wonderful, Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come in his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. What a promise. What a promise. And of course, from Malachi there, why we're back 450 years. And so he is using Old Testament. He could have brought up the fact in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, about John the Baptist. You remember when John the Baptist was here, because great crowds followed him, and it was nothing that was hidden. And so he could have spoke of that. And then he could have went back to Zechariah 11:13, and that speaks of the 30 pieces of silver. And then if he would move forwards to Matthew 26 and talk about Judas and the 30 pieces of silver. And did he take Old Testament and the New Testament scripture? Because even in Matthew, we're looking at something that was 20 years before. To kind of keep in mind the time here as we're speaking to these people. So it had been approximately 20 years since Jesus was crucified. And so these points were made. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected. That would be from verse 1 through verse 12 in Isaiah 53. Psalms 22, he could have quoted David, Psalms 22, 14 through 18. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. That could have been from Psalms. He could have brought this up. Remember as you watch Jesus be crucified on the cross. That was him. Psalm 16, 10-11, thou shalt show me the path of my life. The soul shall be not held in Sheol, or hell, is in Psalm 16, 10-11. So you see the verses of Scripture, which, and a multitude more, Paul could have used as he was speaking in the synagogue that day and those days. And he reasoned with them, the scripture after scripture, proving without a doubt from the Old Testament that the crucified, risen, and ascended Christ was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he set out to show them by the Word of God. And he used their words to do just that, to bring it present to them. Now here comes the sad words, because out of all the words, those 3 days that he presented the Word of God, we find that some of them believed. Now, isn't it something that the two groups that believed were the devout Greeks and the chief women? The devout Greeks, a great multitude. The chief women, not a few. What wonderful words. Some believed. How, when you hear the word of God, can just some believe? How can anyone refuse the calling of the Holy Spirit upon your heart? And yet we know that multitudes do. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has called. The opportunity of salvation has been open for every individual that's ever lived, from Adam to the end of time. Every individual has had an opportunity of salvation, has had an opportunity that the Spirit of God would convict their heart and open that old, cold, dead heart up to the living Christ. And yet, why would anyone refuse to accept that? Why would anyone not to come? Paul has traveled from Philippi. We know what happened to him in Philippi. And now he's traveled over to Macedonia, met in the synagogue, three Sabbaths, it says, as he spoke the word of God. But why that some believe, and here it's just Greeks and chief women. We get to verse 5, but the Jews believe not. The very folks that knew the word of God, the very people that Paul backed up the word of God with the events that have just taken place, those very people are the ones that refused it. They're the ones that would not accept it. The Greeks, the devout Greeks, as the scripture tells us, devout is one that's reverenced or holds a level of honor. They're adored was even one of the words there that held up with devout. Now, in the first part of verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul, associated with him, stayed with him, listened to the word of God. They wanted to hear more of the word of God. Now, we've looked at the devout Greeks. Now, the chief women, that word chief is first of or important. What their position held, we don't know. But they were of some level of importance. And it is much different than we find back in the past where the devout women, the chief women, were not a few, it says, but the honorable women back in Antioch joined the chief men and stirred up the people against Paul and Barnabas. And so thankful that these chief women were different than the honorable women that we found back in Antioch. Why just some? Why some? We talked this morning in Sunday school about the door. We were talking about the lampstand, the size of the lampstand, and how they were not given that size because it is the Lord Jesus and all are welcome to come. But the door of the ark, the size of the door of the ark. You know, the ark's been built as a replica. And I said, what size is the door? How did they make the door? Because there is no size, because all are welcome. No one too small, no one too large, not a certain number, all are able to come. And we know that when the day came of judgment, that God shut the door. And we know that God opened the door whenever it was time to come back off of the ark. God takes care of that. But he does not tell us how. But we are told how many souls were saved that day. 8. 8 souls. And if you look at the dimensions of that, they compare it in size of a number of football fields. 8 souls. There was enough room for all that wanted to come, and yet only 8 souls. So we could say that the same happened in the day of Noah. Some. A few. How about today when the word is proclaimed? When the word is preached? How many heard Paul and Silas? Where were the Greeks and the chief women when they believed and trusted? But the Jews believed not and moved with envy. Envy is another word for a great level of jealousy. They hated that people were listening to Paul and Silas. They begin to pull them away, and the very people that would be able to know these verses of Scripture that Paul used in his opening and alleging and opening and sharing and reasoned, as the second verse says, and he told them about the suffering and the risen, raising again from the dead of the Lord Jesus. He used all their Scripture verses for them that they would know, that they would understand. What's the matter with that cold heart? Why can't that light shine in? Why can't the light shine in today into the people that we tell the gospel to? Why do they continue to hang on to their old ways and their old religion and the dead church that they're in? They'd rather sit there and die and go to hell than to listen to the living God as the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart. What's the matter with folks today? The Spirit of God is no less powerful. It's the heart. The heart has become so wicked and so defiled. They're cold. They're dead. They need to open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some believed. Those that believed stayed with Paul and Silas as they were in Thessalonica, and they listened to the Word of God. It grew in the Word of God, became stronger. And it does give us a list of the people. Again, devout Greeks of great multitude, it says, and then of chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy and took unto them very lewd fellows. Now, as we look at that word, that means vile. Of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on uproar. Who did that? Was it the people in the taverns that come out and were so appalled at the preaching of the Word of God? No, it was the people in the church. It was the religious folks that knew the Word, had heard the Word, and yet they had not heard the Word. The Word was spoken, but they weren't listening. And it never has not changed one bit today. The trouble that you have when you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus is the religious people. The folks that are so set in their religion and their ways of baptism concerning an infant, and then maybe that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and then if you get old enough, then as long as you stay faithful to this religion, then you're heaven bound. Well, if you miss Jesus, you're not heaven bound, you're hell bound. And these people are hell bound. And it's the folks that should have held on to Paul and Silas and wanted them to come and please tell us more. Because we see the fulfillment now as you've shared it with us. And yet they were the opposite side. Believe not. And they went out and got the most despicable people they could find and brought them into the streets Boy, this sounds like the newspaper today. And stirred up everybody, made an uproar, I'm sure destroyed property. All of a sudden, Jason comes on the picture here. And gathered a company, set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Jason. They must have thought they were staying with Jason. They probably were. But God took them out. But just because they didn't find him, they took Jason. They took Jason. When there is a hatred in the world, and we see it today, there is such a hatred for godliness. There's such a hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's such a hatred to follow the Word of God that they don't just speak about it, they show it in violence. And we have the same thing here. The Jews, those, quote, good people, they went out and got the ugliest, dirtiest, filthiest people they could gather off the street, and they got them stirred up. Did they care at all about what Paul and Silas were saying? No. But you see, any time that you want to find a crowd and you want to find a group that's willing to protest and throw a fit about something, I guarantee you can find it, because there's a level of people down there that'll do that any day of the week. And we see it today over and over again. So isn't it something how, over the last 2,000 years, nothing has changed? People still reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and the religious group are tied directly in to the most ungodly people of the world to bring forth their principles and ideas. Have the same thing today. Poor Jason. We're going to find out about Jason here. It'll be in a couple of weeks, because we're going to spend some time getting ready for Resurrection Sunday and those things. We're going to start with that probably fifth verse next time we get the chance to come back to the book of Acts. Please. Do we understand the hatred that the world has for the very God that has spoken into existence, this world that they live in, that they take all the things from, that they enjoy, and it was as they play all day long, as they do that, do they realize that God is the one that created all those things, and they're abusing it and misusing it? And they're going to find themselves in the fires of hell because of it. And not because of their actions, but because of their refusal to trust in Jesus. How do you go to hell? By not believing. It's that simple. How do you get saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Continue to guide and lead us today. It's a joy to proclaim your word. It's a joy to study your word. It's a joy to kind of go along the road with Paul and Silas. And it sure shows us that there is nothing that we've had to face in any comparison to what Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, and those have faced, and many, many others as they have stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand with boldness for that precious gospel. Speak it loudly. Speak it so they can be heard. Speak it with love, that those will hear. And we just pray, Father, that all would be saved. But please, that just at least some would be saved and come to know you as their Savior. Please, dear Father, speak to hearts now. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.